so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, good to have you in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor, say, aren't you lucky and blessed? You get to sit by me. Wow. God must really like you. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to bring you a message tonight simply entitled, Keep the Fire Burning. Keep the Fire Burning. And I don't know. I don't get to do this often, but I don't know. Something happened. The Holy Ghost got involved, and I was preparing today's message yesterday, and then got preparing Sunday's message today, and almost had to stop and have a little praise break. Oh, you know, Brother Cash said it's good when you can shout at your own preaching. And I said, well, I wasn't even preaching it yet. I was just typing it. And the Lord just really gave me just began to encourage me. And then, Lord Jesus, I started working on Father's Day message. That don't happen to me often. I've been on it today. Hallelujah. But we're glad to have you in the house of God. I mean, it poured, rain poured today. And so to have this crowd after all that, we're thankful. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for the rain. That's right. There was a phenomena that was happening this afternoon. I saw blue sky and shared that with some folks because they don't normally see that. Not in the last few days. But it's all good. I want you to make sure that you're here Sunday night. Now, we don't have Sunday night service real often as far as just a throw-down, hoe-down church. So I want you to do your best to be here. Why? Because it's better when you're here. That's right. It's better when you're here. And I know that you're going to be blessed. Brother Keith Barron, I've known him for as long as I've been in the Church of God, since 1988, probably 30 years now, close to it. And he's a good man of God, and you want to talk about can work an altar. That man can. I'm going to tell you right now, just come, go ahead and eat something before you come. Not because he preaches long. I preach longer than him. Don't you say amen. I will come out there. But he will stay in these altars and pray until the last amen. I mean, he just really has an anointing for that. And so we want you to come out and be a part of that. I'm excited about bringing him in. I wasn't sure if he was going to be able to come. He recently just lost his wife. His wife passed away two or three weeks ago? About 3 weeks ago. And so I wasn't sure if he was going to be up to it, but he jumped on the chance and said he'd love to come. So he's going to be here Sunday, 6 o'clock, and we're going to have a great time. The Lord, bring some folks, bring some friends, bring some family, bring some frenemies. Amen. Bring some enemies, whatever. Bring them. I don't care. I don't give a rip. How many knows your enemies need God? Amen. Now, the bad part of that, if they get saved, you're going to kind of give up a little bit. You're going to quit being so mad at them and, shout some grace. Pastor, I ain't got to do that while they ain't saved. Nah, if they're a sinner, just don't like them. That's sarcasm for those of you who don't know what that is. Somebody's going to leave here. Somebody right now on their own live stream. I can't believe he said that. Oh, hush. Laughter doeth good like a medicine. Now, you got to love everybody. Just because you love people don't mean you got to like everybody. Amen? But you got to love everybody. Well, what's the difference? That's a whole nother sermon. I ain't got time for that tonight. So go with me to the book of John, chapter 10. My favorite scripture in all the Bible. My life scripture is John 10:10. We're talking about keeping the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. And the Bible says the thief does not come except, only reason he comes, except the only reason he comes to you is to steal, kill, and to destroy. Well, what do you think that means? Well, bless the Lord. You don't have to be a theologian. That's probably why I like it so much, to know what that means. He's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But then Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. One translation said, I come to put some life in your life. What do you mean that, Pastor? How many knows people, don't point at them if they're here, but how many know folks who are alive but they don't live? How many folks do you know who are in a crowd but they're lonely in that crowd? I know what it is to be the life of the party but still lonely. Come on, somebody. And there are a lot of people who are breathing but not living. And there are some people, you know, can I just tell you what's a little pathetic to me? Don't be upset. Don't write me any notes. I don't really want them. Not unless they're good. But what's pathetic to me is all you got to do is watch Facebook and see how pathetic people are. What do you mean? I mean, when the people go, oh God, they only live for the weekend. And they call that living. Listen, I live 24/7, 7 days a week. Because Jesus came to put life in my life. Now, I understand what most people are thinking, that they're going to be off work and they get to enjoy the weekend. I understand that. But then some people, all they want to do is get to the weekend so that they can numb life. That's all they want to do. Get to the weekend so I don't have to deal with life and I can spend everything that I just made to numb myself. And call that a good time. Amen. Well, you know, and listen, I'm not one of them preachers that's going to get up and go, there is no fun in the world. I used to be on the seat, and the preacher would get up and say, well, I'll tell you right now, there's no fun in the world. And I'd say, dude, you wasn't with me. Because I can tell you, Jack, how to have some fun. But there's a difference in having fun and having joy. There's a difference in having fun and having peace. There's a difference in living and having fun and living and enjoying life. Good preaching, Pastor. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Now look at 2 Corinthians 2:11. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Did you bring that up for me, Broderick? You're working on it. Ooh, he just threw Steve under the bus. Right? You know, that's just like the devil always trying to blame somebody else. Adam did it to Eve, and now Broderick's doing it to Steve. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I like what the Living Translation said. Don't be caught off guard by the devil. Know the devices of the enemy. Don't be caught off guard by the devil. Know the devices of the enemy. Can I tell you that some of us don't even know who it is attacking us? And you don't know how to fight it because you don't know what you're fighting. And you don't know what's trying to stomp out and put out your fire. Because you don't know where it's coming from. Can I tell you the first verse gave us the clue of where it's coming from? The power of hell. But then he goes on to, he says, don't be caught off guard
by the devil, know the devices that the devices of the enemy. And then in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, which is probably my second favorite scripture, it is, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, God has a plan for your life, but what we don't understand is so does the devil. The devil has a plot, but God's got a plan. The devil wants to destroy you, but God wants to lift you up. The enemy will do everything that he can do to stomp out your fire. He can do everything that he, that's his job, is to stomp out your fire. And if you are caught off guard, you will be, your fire will be put out, your relationship with God will be null and or void of any meaning. You may still have it. What do you mean, preacher? You may still come to church, but there's no relationship with God. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Pastor, I don't understand. Some of you are in a marriage that you're married, but you're not married. Your roommates. Oh, don't get me going. Your roommates. And some of you think you're married, but you're not. Let me just go on and move on. You have a fire within you. Don't let the devil stomp it out. Don't let the devil stomp it out. Well, Pastor, how does he stomp it? How? I'm so glad you ask, because I have five of them for you tonight. Five different ways. Five ways the devil tries to use things to stomp out the fire of God in our life. Because how many knows if you light something on fire, if it's small enough, you can stomp it out with your feet. And that's what the devil comes to do sometimes, is your fire. You're just getting started. How many knows that, man, let me ask this question. How many of you, when you first got saved, all hell broke loose because you got saved? Yeah, come on, put your hands up. Look around. Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. Hallelujah. Man, I'll tell you right now, I got saved and everybody started acting out. I got saved, lost my job. I got saved. My wife went crazy. I got saved. My children, like they were in the Exorcist or something. I don't know what happened. Because here's the deal. Don't think that the enemy of your life is going to be excited about you giving a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, help me, Jesus. If you ever dated somebody crazy, don't say amen, because you might be married to them now. But if you ever dated somebody crazy, that they didn't want you, but they didn't want nobody else to have you, that's what the devil kind of is. He don't want you, but he don't want Jesus to have you. He wants you in a way, but he don't want you. He just wants to cause you to be null and void. He wants to destroy your effectiveness on this earth. He wants, you know, people talk about, well, bless God, they possessed. Can I tell you, some people don't need to be possessed. The devil is not nearly concerned with possessing you as he is controlling you or causing you to be null and ill effect in the kingdom of God. Let me give you another one. You usually don't run into the devil if you're running in the same direction. So when you stop and turn around, there's a tidal wave of what you used to be doing coming at you. But I've come by to tell you that if you'll hold on to God's unchanging hand, he'll hold back the waves. He'll cause you to rise above it and ride it out, and cause you to be better on the other side of that situation. Well, praise the Lord. Five ways the devil will attempt to stomp out your fire. Number one is this. The devil will attempt to stomp out your fire with the challenges of life. You know, now because the people are getting saved, you know, a lot of our folks in here right now, you've been saved in the last 10, 15, 20 years. But there was a doctrine that went around that said if you got saved, everything was just going to be hunky-dory.
You want your marriage saved? Get saved. Oh no, that just getting saved ain't gonna do it. Right? Now that's part of the process. How am I doing, Steve? All right, he's doing good. All right, that's part of the process. Well, I'll tell you what, Pastor, I need my finances fixed. Getting saved is part of the process, but it's not the ultimate. Well, Pastor, I don't understand. I started coming to church. That's part of the process, but that's not the fix. Amen? Well, Pastor, I need to quit drinking. Well, I came to church. That's part of the process, but that ain't the fix. Pastor, I need to quit, get off drugs, and I got saved, but I'm still dealing. That's part of the process, but it's not the fix. Are you listening to me? See, we want to use one step. We want to use one step to fix our life when God says, you got to walk this thing out. The step that you need to take is having a relationship with God, and He'll walk you through the challenges of life. But if you think that you're going to get saved and have a tiptoe through the tulips all day long, every day of your life, then you are mistaken, because the devil is going to try to stomp out the fire of God in your life with the challenges of life. And if you haven't had any challenges yet, it's just because you haven't lived long enough yet. There was a guy who told me one day, and he had gotten saved, and it did, man. Things just went real smooth for him for a long time, and here's what he told me one day. He goes, I don't understand these other people, Pastor, who have to pray forever, and they don't get stuff. And matter of fact, he was a little prideful in it. He said, I don't understand, because I just pray one time, and God gives me whatever I prayed for. And I went, oh, bless your heart. And I told him, I said, son, be careful. Be careful, because are you serving God for what He's doing for each little tidbit He's giving you, or are you serving Him to make heaven your home? Ah, come on, somebody. Now, I hate to say, and I know some of y'all are going to go, well, he judged. I'm not the judge. But if I was the judge, he died and split hell wide open. Well, you don't know him. You're right, I don't. I'm just saying, if I'm the judge. And I'm not. But he, listen. Anyway, let me move on. Thank you for that blessing, Lord. That's just helped me right there. Here's the deal. Everybody has challenges. I don't care who you are. You know, I love those people who think the pastor don't ever have challenges. I didn't have gray hair till I started pastoring. Y'all caused this. But we will endure challenges in every arena of our lives and in every stage of our life. You can't get around it. You know, you have the super faith people who go, well, if you just have enough faith, you'll never go through challenges. That's not biblical. He said, in this life you shall have tribulation. But that's not a period. It was a comma. It said, but I will deliver you out of them all. Right. Amen? How do you know you have faith until it's been challenged? How do you know? You don't need a deliverer until you realize that you were in bondage. You don't need a healer until you recognize that there's something wrong with your body. You don't need a redeemer until you recognize that I need to be redeemed. Hallelujah. Now, I am a faith preacher, but I want you to understand something. Everybody has challenges, but that doesn't mean that you sit back sour and soak and say, que sera, sera, whatever will be. No, you square your shoulders back, and you know who you are in God, and you stoke the fire even more, and you come at the powers of hell and tell the devil, you might have come at me with a sword and a spirit, but I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, of whose I am and who I serve, and I declare that I am the victor every time. We experience these challenges when you're young until you get old and die. They never go away. The older we get, when we think the challenges are over, we run into a whole new set of circumstances that you got to deal with. When you're born, we're challenged with talking, walking, eating. When we're older, we're challenged with walking, talking, and eating.
When you're young, you can't control your bowels. But we have challenges. And we still have those. We have different sets of challenges. How many remember when you didn't have any problems? Ooh. When your biggest problem was the spelling test on Friday. And it was like spoke and take, cat, dog. And you thought you was all that because you got that. That's easy. Now they want you to, now, you know, then you get that down. Then they make it a little bit bigger. Cause, effect, right? You get that down. Then you get a little higher. Then you got to spell supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. And you go, I don't even care. Right? We all have those challenges. John 16:33, and I've already quoted it, in this world you will have tribulation, trials, disasters, distress, frustration, but be of good courage, take courage, be confident, for I have overcome the world. We have challenges. How many remember go, man, I can't wait to get out on my own. Now you wish you could go live with mom and daddy. Woo. You know, when I was 18 years of old age, I made more money than all of my friends. Put together, I made more than all of them. And they would tell me, Ronnie, why don't you move out, man? You make enough money. I go, y'all don't understand something. Toilet paper costs money. Electric costs money. And I told him, see, because I'm smarter than the average bear. I told him, Papa, I told him, I said, I come home and magically my clothes went from the hamper into my closet. I don't even know how they got there. I come home, it doesn't matter, it almost didn't matter what time. When I got home from work, I had a woman. She happened to be my mama. Would go, baby, you hungry? You need mama to fix you something. When you on your own, that don't happen. Unless you marry a good woman like I did. And then when I come home, she go, baby, what can I fix you? And I go, you a dish all by yourself, girl. Shoot. Anyway, let me move on. You have work challenges. Listen to me. If you don't learn how to listen to your mom and daddy, and mom and daddy, if you don't teach your children to listen, they're going to be hard-pressed to find a job and keep one. Uh-huh. I don't need this job. I quit. Then you get home. I need a job. No, you don't need a job. You just need groceries. Rent. Let me move on. Hey, listen. Pastor John doing a great job. Pastor John had, jam in, the third phase of a discipleship program for some of our kids. Part of the process is they have to do a real life adult budget based on what they want to do in their life. Let me tell you this, out of all those children back there, ain't but one of them got a clue of how much groceries is. One 15-year-old boy said, I'm going to spend $150 a month on groceries. I said, boy, you eat that in 3 days. I know you. I'm telling you, everybody was $200 and $150. They ain't been to groceries. Next, you know what you need to do, some of you? Some of you need to let your kids, give them some money, say, y'all go buy the groceries. Come on, y'all, I'm going to show y'all how much this costs. I guarantee they quit eating so much. Hallelujah. Right? One little girl, bless her heart, she had $520 for groceries. I said, that girl going to eat right there now. That's what I'm talking about. I might not have cable, but I'm going to eat. Come on, somebody. You get down to that, you begin to see what's what. You begin to see what's really important. You know, I don't care if I don't wash, if I don't have the forensic files. I'm going to eat. That's what I'm going to do, bless God. Hallelujah. Relationship challenges. I know y'all don't have them because all of y'all's marriages and all of y'all friendships, everything is just hunky-dory. You ain't got no crazy aunts or drunk uncles. I know everybody, all your relationships are just all that. But for the rest of us, we have relationship challenges. Don't let challenges stomp out your fire, because they will. They will. You know, I here's what I get. I get this sometimes. And it hadn't happened in a little while, but there was two families that was in our church, and they got crossways with each other. And neither one of them would come back to church because of what everybody else thought. And that's why I said, oh, geez. And I don't know if I helped them or hurt them, but I told them, I go, listen, everybody don't know your business because you ain't that important. Unless you throw it on Facebook. All right. He will attempt to stomp out your fire with sickness. We sung tonight, he's my healer. He heals my body. We believe that. But if you're not careful, the devil will use sickness to stomp out the fire of God in your life. 1 Peter 2:24, by his wounds you have been healed. Isaiah 53:5, with his stripes we are healed, right? Well, but I'm not though. Well, hey, if you allow the enemy, he will stomp out your fire due to sickness. But it's not just the challenges of the sickness itself, but the whole journey that surrounds it. Listen to me. If you've never had chronic illness, you don't have a clue. And what it comes for is to beat you down day in and day out, to beat you down, to stomp out that fire. How do I combat it, Pastor? You just got to keep putting new wood on the fire. What's the new wood? The Word of God, prayer and supplication, thanksgiving unto God. And you just keep building the fire. Every time the devil tries to stomp it out, you begin to declare the Word of God, and you put more wood on that fire and let it burn, baby. See, the actual physical battle and dealing with the symptoms is one thing, but the mental battle during the journey to divine health is what usually takes people out. Don't let sickness stomp out your fire. Number three, he will attempt to stomp out your fire with people. With people. Psalms 118:6. Some of y'all need to write this one down. Psalms 118:6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You know, I was at General Assembly, which is the big muckety muck meeting of the Church of God. And I went to get one of my friends, and I went through the hotel lobby where all the big muckety mucks were. And all the big shots, you know what a big shot is, right? A little shot away from home. But anyway. So I went in there, and I think, was you with me, Lauren? Me and my Lauren, and I had on a t-shirt, because it was after the service. I had on a t-shirt, some shorts, and a flip-flops. Not eighth pair of flip-flops. And I walked in there, and I ran into one of the big muckety-mucks. I didn't think nothing about it, because I wasn't dressed to impress. I was just, you know, they had an outside concert, and I was going to go to it. And I walked in there, and he goes, and he looks at another big muckety-muck, and he goes, now this guy, he knew who I was. He said, this guy is secure in who he is. Because there ain't nobody else going to run around at General Assembly with some flip-flops, shorts, and a t-shirt on. And I went, I ain't sure what I'm supposed to do. I ain't sure if I'm supposed to be mad or glad. I ain't sure. But I did. I told him, I go, well, I know where I'm going to be come Monday. I'm going to be back in Crystal River. That's where I'm going. You know, y'all can do whatever y'all want to do. But here's the deal. What can man do to me? I'm not being ugly, but I ain't scared of nobody. I ain't scared. What can man do to me? I fear the Lord. Right? So the devil will try to get people to stomp out your fire. Would you just look at the person next to you, and they might be your spouse, but look at them and tell them, I love you. But you ain't that important. Some of y'all lied. Some of y'all lied right there, because I can tell you that your relationship with God is wrapped up in somebody that is wrapped up in somebody. Listen, my youngest daughter's over here. I'm telling you, there ain't a doubt in my mind I'd lay down my life for my daughter. But I've done told my daughter, you can go to hell if you want to. I'm not going to go. I ain't going to let you lead me there. I ain't going to go because of you. I have made my decision. I'm going to hell. Heaven, my wife is over there in the back, and I love the ground that woman walks on. But I'll tell her right now, I'm not going to hell for nobody or no reason. You can go to hell all by yourself, but I'm not going with you. I'm going to heaven. I've made my decision, and I'm not going to let people stomp out my fire. God knows they've tried to. Here's what I know, Ray, that the fire of God doesn't go from me through Justin, whom I love, then to God. Your fire doesn't go through your pastor then to God. It is between you and God. And no matter what goes around or what happens. Well, but pastor, come here. Oh, I know you're taking notes, but come here, I need you. 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 You're the prettiest one of the lot. Y'all just stand around me. Stand around. Come. Now you may go, but pastor, I just can't worship with all these hypocrites. Now, they're not. They're good folk. But I don't. You can put a hypocrite all the way around me. They hold hands and sing kumbaya for all I care. Because I know I'm not one, and I'm going to worship God, because my filter does not filter through people. My fire, my relationship is between me and God, and it doesn't matter what everybody else around me don't do. I'm going to worship God because it is the fire of God that He's given me. Thank you, guys. Quit letting people stomp out your fire. Good Lord. Well, I was hurt. Get over it. Well, somebody said something. Shut up. Man, you offended me. You being offended is offending me. I mean, it's just ridiculous, right? Why in the cotton picking? I don't even know what to say. Why in the world, as Christians, we wear our feelings on our shoulders? Well, they're supposed to be Christians. So are you. But remember when you wasn't Christian? Was you that little mealy-mouthed wimp then? Oh, they hurt my feelings. Listen, I ain't ever went to a bar where folks sitting around crying because somebody hurt their feelings. Now, they sitting around crying for other reasons. There's a tear in my beer. I ain't ever, because you know why? Because somebody smart off to you. What? Step outside, say that. Now, pastor, are you telling us to do that at church? No. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is get that attitude. When somebody, you don't know me. Right? Well, what if they do know me? You still don't know me. Somebody said that to me the other day. Somebody said something to me. I go, boy, you don't know me. Yeah, you don't know. You better ask somebody. You don't know me, boy. But are you getting what I'm saying? We get to the point that we get so hurt by what people say. Get that attitude you used to have. Just because you got saved, you still need to have a fight in you. Not to beat somebody up, but to go, oh no. Listen, I went to youth camp in Tifton, Georgia. And I know some of y'all might be watching. I don't even give a care. I went to youth camp in Tifton, Georgia for 12 years, baby. 11, 12 years. And them people up there treated me so bad. Did you zoom in? So bad. You treated me bad. You know who you are. Andy Glover. So they treated me bad. And my wife said, why you keep going back? I go, oh, they ain't running me off. They got to deal with me. And I go up there and see them and go, hey, man, how you doing? How you doing, bro? How you doing? Right? Well, Pastor, it's just not my makeup. You need to make it your makeup. Because what the devil wants to do is get you off here in a corner somewhere and nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go to the garden and eat some worms. I'm not. That's what the devil wants to do. But what Jesus says, rise up. Don't let words offend you. Don't be, listen, if you are easily, if you're not careful, you get offended and you take on a spirit of offense and then everything offends you. You ever notice some people, don't point at them. You know there's some folks just hard to hurt their feelings. That's the way you need to get. Right? All right. People, it's been said that ministry would be easy if it wasn't for people. And that's true. But the fact is, ministry is all about people. You got to deal with people. Let me help some of you too. Well, I thought that I got saved and I just ought to be able to deal with people. It's called people skills, not people gift. A gift is given to you, but skills you have to develop. We can't escape people. Nor do we want to, even though sometimes in the flesh we would love to. God has called us to be with people. Part of the way you know you're saved is how you deal with people. Right? And by this all men shall know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Was that John 13, 33 or 35, something like that? Which one is it? Come on. Come on, Professor. I hate it when people put me on the spot. I just go, oh, praise God. Yeah, go ahead. I don't have no idea. I'm just messing with you. Listen, our kingdom assignments, listen to this. Our kingdom assignments are designed to surround and minister to people. Why God gave you what he gave you is so that you could be around and minister to people. Well, I don't like people. Well, pray. Have it work for me. Some of you are like, you really do like people? Are you kidding me? Yeah, I do. I love people. But people can be taught, and people can be tough, and if you're not careful, they'll stomp out your fire. The things they say, negative talk, demeaning talk, amen? How many of you know, don't point at nobody, but how many know some saved jerks? I told you I don't point up here. I know some say they're just a jerk. Do you love them? I love them. Do I want to give them the right hand of fellowship? Yeah, absolutely. Pastor, nobody in our church. Oh, ho, ho, ho. No. That's the last church I pastored. Just jerks. Look at your neighbors there. Are you a jerk? And you know what the reality of it is? You ought to look back and go, sometimes. That's what she said. That's scary. All right. The things people do, controlling, causing hurt, lying about you, negative, bad, sinful relationships. Don't let anyone stomp out your fire. I'm almost done. Number four. He will attempt to stomp out your fire with fear. With fear. And there's so much fear. When Pastor Steve did an excellent two-series sermons on anxiety that you need to get and listen to, if you haven't listened to it, and it deals with fear and anxiety. But fear, man, 2 Timothy, let me give you some word. 2 Timothy 1:7, for the Lord hath not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
I need to erase this one line. That there are 365 fear nots for every day of the week, or every day of the year. I'm going to erase that because Steve said it wasn't so. See, I don't think I listen when I ain't preaching. I listen. All right. What is fear? Fear is false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. How many knows that most of the time we fear stuff that never comes to pass? Worry is like paying interest on something that never comes. Right? So we're fearing things that are never even, that are never going to happen. Fear is false evidence for appearing real. Fear of the future. Fear of the unknown. What if? Fear of anything. Phobia, spiders, heights, closed spaces, whatever. Don't let fear stomp out your fire. Number five, and I'm done. He will attempt to stomp out your fire with the lust of the flesh. With the lust of the flesh. Well, Pastor, what is that? Man, that encompasses so much that it's a whole series in and of itself. 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world." Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." 2 Timothy 2:22, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." Everybody in here has a passion for something. Something. Everybody in this place has a passion for something. What is it? It could be sinful. It couldn't be. It could not be. I don't know. But I know that the Lord has called us to not have any other passions more than what we ought to have a passion for Him. Who else died for you? Who else died for you? Don't let the flesh stomp out your fire. Come on, give me some singers. Well, Pastor, what can I do? I want you to turn here with me. And Broderick, I want you to go there. I don't think I have it there, but I want you to go there. 2 Timothy 1:6 and 7. I've already quoted one of them. "For the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but a love of power and sound mind." I want you to go to 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. If you have your Bibles, go there because I want you to underline it. And bring it up when you're there. All right, there you go. Go to verse 6. "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you." How? "By laying on of hands." If you ever been outside with a fire, or if you ever had a fireplace, sometimes you got to stir it up to get the embers going. And sometimes life just happens, right? And how do you do it? You lay hands on yourself. Well, Pastor, I need somebody. And I believe we are a church that believes in laying on of hands. But can I tell you that if the only time your fire gets stirred up is when Bobby prays for you, a carpenter prays for you, or Pastor Steve or Pastor Justin or myself or my wife or Deborah or any number one of these other drunks, spiritual drunks that are, right, Ruth? One of the biggest drunks. That's right. You're right. She's like one of the biggest spiritual drunks I know. Amen. Every time she comes up to the house, she wants a drink till she's full. But sometimes you got to lay hands on yourself. Pastor, you being serious? I'm being for real. Sometimes I lay my hand on my own head.
in the name of Jesus. Pastor, you don't do it like that. Sometimes I do. Pastor John said, and fall out. Now, I ain't ever prayed myself and fell out. Because I didn't have nobody to catch me. But I have laid on hands on myself and shouted, in Jesus, stir up the gift of God that is within you. By the laying on of my hands, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Stir up the gift of God that is in you. It's over there. If you're a child of God, you have a fire in you. Problem is, some of it's just flickering. And some of it's, you've been through so much junk and gunk that you need wood put on it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Paul is encouraging his son in the faith, Timothy. He said, don't let anything or anyone discourage you. It is our responsibility to keep the fire burning. Don't let the devil stomp it out. It is your duty to God to keep the fire burning. Let me give you one more. Spirit Life team, come. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Write it down. I'll be gone by the time you're there. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will be heap upon themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. The key to it all, the key to it all is having a relationship with Jesus Christ. A vibrant. I'm not talking about you know him. You need to know him. You need to know him. Not have an acquaintance, but know him. Stand to your feet tonight. We're going to sing this song. And if you want somebody to lay hands on you, you want some prayer. Because the Bible says, stir up the gift of God by the laying on of hands. But maybe you just feel like you need to lay hands on yourself, whatever. The altars are open. The altars are open. If you need prayer, begin to move right now. But whatever it is, whether you move or not, throw up your hands and begin to ask God to stir up the fire that is in you. If you've allowed something to stomp it out, stir it up. Stir it up. Stir it up.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m., our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.